Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Hey. We're getting close towards the end of the Masechta and the conclusion of the wonderful Sefer of Noshim. It should be a wonderful schus for all of us and for all of Klai Yisrael, that the Chayalim and the Kochos HaBichaton should be safe, that all the captives should be redeemed immediately, safely, without any damage, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Nechama on all of those that have never suffered losses, that there should not be any more Korbanos in Klai Yisrael, and Refuah Shleima to all those that need it. Refuah HaNefesh or Refuah HaGuf. We pick up five lines to the bottom on Ayin Dalin Omud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, we quote the following Braisa. The Braisa is going to have three opinions in it. They're all going to sound very similar, and the Gemara will explain what is the difference between the three opinions. The Braisa starts and tells us, Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad, a boy who is of the age of 9 years and 1 day. The significance of this is that his bio is considered a significant action. Before the age of 9 years and 1 day, for a girl before the age of 3 years and 1 day, their bio, if they were to engage in a physical relationship, is not considered halachically bio. It is considered just a physical act, not considered halachically bio. So a man, a boy actually over here, who's 9 years and 1 day, so then his physical act of bia has significance. In other words, it is considered an act of bia, and if it's a prohibited act, of course he's a child still, so he would not be punished if he was a child, but if the other participant is an adult, so then the other participant would be held accountable. In any event, here we're not dealing with accountability, here we're dealing with lineage, what is the status of the child. So, ben teisha shana v'yom echad, if a 9-year-old boy and 1 day has relations, and this boy is either a ger, a person who's a convert, who is an Ammoni or Moavi, Mitzri, Vadomi. So he is a convert from those nations. So he is, in fact, a person who has already a blemished lineage. In Ammoni and Moavi are never allowed to go into the Kahal of Kahal Yisrael. They can become Jewish, but they're not members of the Kahal, a Mitzri or an Adomi. So they are, for three generations, they are considered not yet able to come into the Kahal. It's only in the Dor Shlishi that they're able to be considered coming into the Kahal. Or if it was a Kusi, a person who is of Kusi origin, we discussed the Kusim yesterday. These are people also known as the Shomronim, who were brought over by Sanhedrin from a place called Kuta, and they were transplanted into the area of the Shomron. And that's where they get the name Shomronim as well. So these people eventually converted because we said the lions attacked them, so they were Gerei Arayos, and their lineage is also not a good lineage. So any of these people, or the Nesinim, we talked about them as well, they were also known as the Givonim. They were members of the Zayin Umos who tricked Yoshua and said they were far away. Yoshua made a peace with them in order not to have a Chil Hashem. They allowed them to continue as Chotev Eitzecha and Shoev Meimecha. They were part of Klai Yisrael, but not a real part of Klai Yisrael. And subsequently, in the years of David HaMelech, there was additional Silsuch with them, and they were forever forbidden to become part of Klai Yisrael. Or a Cholot, a person that was born out of an improper relationship with a Kohen. So a Kohen married a Grusha or a Chalutza, and that child, therefore, on a Grusha level would be a Cholot D'Araisa, on a Chalutza level would be on a D'Rabbanon level. If it's a girl, be prohibited to marry a Kohen. And finally, a Mamzer. We, of course, discussed the different definitions of a Mamzer. The standard definition of Shimon HaTimni, which is the Chacham's opinion, which is the accepted opinion, is that any child that's born from a relationship that would be prohibited with Kores or Misa B'dei Shemayim, so that child would be considered a mamzer. Rabbi Akiva's opinion, again, different versions of how strict Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, he says any chai v'labim, or possibly even a chai v'yasei, even stricter than that, any prohibited relationship, that child would be a mamzer. In any event, if a male who was 9 years and 1 day from any of these groups that we just mentioned had relations, Shabo al HaKohenes, V'al HaLaviyah, V'al Bas Yisrael, had relations with a Jewish woman, either a Bas Kohen, a Bas Levi, or a Bas Yisrael, in this situation, Pisalua, he has in fact made her into a Psula. She is no longer allowed to go and marry a Kohen. If she was a Bas Kohen, she's no longer allowed to eat Truma, as Rashi tells us, in Dibur Amasko Pasluha Lekohenes Min HaTruma Umin HaKuna Leviyah V'Yisraelis Milinase O Lekohen. So if she was a Bas Kohen, she can't eat Truma anymore, and any woman in this situation, a Bas Kohen, Bas Slave, or Bas Yisrael, is no longer allowed to go and marry a Kohen. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Now, we have a very similar opinion, but we'll see there's a slight difference with Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says, Rav Yossi Omer, Kol Shezaro Pasul Posel, if the offspring of this woman would be not permitted to go marry a Kohen or would not be allowed to go and eat Truma, so in this situation, not only is the offspring Posel, but then Posel, then she is Posel. Now, sounds like that includes almost everybody. How is this different than the opinion of the Tanakhama, who says that Paslua, and here it says that if the Zaro is Paslua, then she is Paslua as well. The mother is Paslua as well. We'll see a slight difference in this in a moment, the Gemara. However, Lekosha Ein Zaro Paslua, if the child is not Paslua, then she is not Psula as well. Ein no Posel. So she would not be forbidden to go and marry a Kohen. And that's the second opinion. The third opinion in the Brisa of Shimon ben Gamliel, when we turn to Ayin Heil Min Aleph, he says, Kol she'ata nosei bito, if you're allowed to go and marry the daughter, so then ata nosei almanuso, then you're allowed to go marry the mother. If the mother were to become an almana, so then an almana is permitted to a regular kohen, obviously not to a kohen gadol, but here we're talking about a regular kohen. So if the daughter is able to be married to a kohen, so then if the mother becomes an almana, she would still also be allowed to go and marry to a kohen. So, Choshe Yatanose Bito, but if you couldn't marry the daughter, then Yatanose Abanosu, then you couldn't marry the mother if and when she becomes a widow. Now, all three of these opinions do not sound drastically different from the other. And the Gemara says, what's the difference between the first and the second and third opinion? Maika first, Bein, Tanakamu, Bein Rav Yossi. What's the difference between the Tanakama's opinion and between Rav Yossi's opinion? We'll review them in a second. So, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mitzri Sheini Ika Binai. The difference between them is what happens if the man who was 9 years old in one day, who had relations with this woman, was himself a Mitzri Sheni. So there's a nafkamina over here because the Mitzri Sheni himself is also, but his progeny, the Mitzri Shlishi, child that will be born, is Mutter Lavo Lako, boy or girl. So therefore, that would be the focal point difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. And both of them learned it out from the same pasuk. Kushtem lo lim dua, ela mi kohen gadol be amona. Both learned this their din out from the din that a kohen gadol is prohibited from marrying an amona. Now, let's understand the difference. The Tanakhama holds, the Tanakhama sovar, ki kohen gadol be amona, that the din over here is similar, analogous to the case of the prohibition against a kohen gadol marrying an amona. Because, ma kohen gadol be amona, a kohen gadol is not allowed to have relations with an almana, should be also be avera. Their relationship is a forbidden relationship. The Torah says that a kohen gadol has to go marry besula me'amav, yikach isha. And this almana is obviously not a besula me'amav. So therefore, in this situation where the kohen gadol has relations with an almana, that relationship, the physical relationship, should be also be avera, is an avera. Even if they got married, there's still an avera over here. The kedusha would be chal, according to the standard approach that we have, not Rabbi Akiva, but according to the standard approach of Shimon HaTimni and the Chachamim, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, so this Kiddush will be Chal, but the Bia is an Avera, so therefore, Upo Sel Ba. So she, in fact, the Almana in this situation, would be prohibited from marrying a Kohen, a regular Kohen now. So too, Avkol should be also b'avera poso. So therefore, he says that's the paradigm. And any situation where the bia is an avera, if the bia were to occur, there's a transgression, there's an avera involved, so then she is psula posel likuhuna. As opposed to Rav Yossi, he said a little bit different. Now we can see the fine distinction between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi savra ki kohen gadol b'amana. He says, yes, it's analogous to the kohen gadol b'amana, but look at it this way. He says, ma kohen gadol b'amana, shezaro posel. When the kohen gadol has relations with the almana, and they have a child that's born, so that child is psula, if it's a girl, to marry a kohen. Shezaro posel. So in this situation, then the mother, uposel, she is psula as well. However, that therefore translates to being any scenario where Af Kol Shezaro Posel, if the child is going to be Psula, so then Posel, then the mother is going to be Psula if she's an Amana. However, this would exclude Lafuke Mitzri Sheni. If the man that had relations with this woman was a Mitzri Sheni, Sho Ein Zaro Posel, the child is a Mitzri Shlishi and is permissible level of call, and therefore, in this situation, if the person that had relations with the woman is a Mitzri Sheni, according to Rav Yossi, the mother would not be a psula likuhuna because the child is not psula likuhuna. The Omer Kor, because the pasuk says, "Bonim Asher Yivold Lehem Dor Shlishi of all Lehem Bikal Hashem." So a Mitzri Shlishi child is permissible level of call, and therefore, according to Rav Yossi, since the child is permissible, the mother would also be permissible, likuhuna. So therefore, that's the nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Now, what's the nafkamina between Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon Gamliel, the second and third opinions in the Braisa? So Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, kol she'atanose bito atanose elamunoso. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shita was, if you can marry that daughter, so then you can marry the almana, the mother, if she in fact becomes an almana. Because she'atanose is bito, but if you can't marry the daughter, then, then you wouldn't be allowed to go marry the mother when she becomes a widow. So that sounds very much like what we just said for Rav Yossi. What's the difference? Ma'ik bin Rav Yossi l'Rav Shimon Gamliel. And where it says again, there's a very fine distinction, and that distinction is Amar Ula Ger Amoni Umoavi Ikabinayu. Here you have if the person that had relations with this woman was a ger from Amon or Moab. Now, Amon or Moab, males are never allowed to come into the Kaal of Hashem, even Ador Asiri, even beyond 10 generations. However, the Amonis and Moavis, the females, are perfectly mutter lovo l'kal. So this is what the Torah tells us, that the distinction here is that the males are forever forbidden lovo l'kal, but the females right away, don't have to wait till Dor Shlishi. Right away, the Amonis and Moavis are permissible. So this would be the Nafka Mina, Ula says, between the second opinion Rav Yossi, and the third opinion, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. What exactly is that? First of all, Rav tells us, again, the source for their distinction is exactly the din of the prohibition of Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana. Now, how do we understand it? We just explained Rav Yossi before. The Rav Yossi saw Varki Kohen Gadol b'Amana. He says that the prohibition is learned out from the relationship of the Kohen Gadol b'Amana with the child. Ma Kohen Gadol b'Amana shezaro pasul uposel. That the child from such a relationship, if it's a girl, is psula to marry the kuna. So therefore, the mother, when she becomes widowed, is also psula to marry a kohen, a regular kohen. And Amana, she would be allowed to. If her second husband dies, so she would be allowed to. So here, since this second husband was an Amana married to a kohen gadol, so in this situation, since her child is psula, she is psula as well to now marry a kohen. Of course, she's our apostle posel. So it has to be, if all of the offspring call Shazaro posel posel. So since all of her children in this situation are posel, the Amana to the Kohen Gadol, so therefore, only in a situation where all of the children are posel, does Rav Yossi say that the mother, when she becomes an Amana, is not allowed to marry a Kohen. On the other hand, you have the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who compares it to a Kohen Gadol Amana in the following way. Ma Kohen Gadol b'Amana shekol zaro posel. He says, yes, it has to be that all of the children are posel. Then, in that situation, I agree with you. I've called shekol zaro posel afil in the cables. He says, it's all of them, not some of them, but all of them have to be psulim. So then, the mother is psula as well. La fuke ger amoni umoavi. As opposed to the opinion of Rav Yossi, who doesn't require all of them. I said a moment ago, I may have said it a little bit incorrectly. So Rav Yossi, he doesn't require that all of Zara. He says, as long as the Zara are apostle, some of the Zara are apostle, so then the mother is psul as well. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says that all of the Zara have to be apostle. Afilu in the cables, even the girls that are born from such a relationship. Because Kohen Gadol to Amana, both the boys and the girls are psula. So he accents on that point of view. La fuke, as opposed to if the person who had relations with the mother over here was ger amoni umoavi, where only the male children are psulim, the female children are perfectly mutter lavo lakal. Then the cables have a sheris lavo bakal. And therefore, the opinion of Shimon Gamliel would be in the situation where the father was ger amoni umoavi, then the daughters are not psulim, and therefore the mother wouldn't be psula. As opposed to Rav Yossi says, since some of the children Psulim, so therefore the mother is going to be psul. So the Amar Mar Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Amonis, the famous drasha from Rus HaMoaviyah that we learned out, David HaMelech was kosher lovo l'kol because his mother was from Moavis, Rus HaMoavis, and therefore his grandmother's great grandmother was Moavis, and therefore was Muteris lovo l'kol. So that's the distinction between the three opinions: Tanakama, Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Then a fine distinction that separates their dinim, which are very, very similar. Amar Chissa, Chissa tells us, Hakol Moldim, everybody agrees, Bi'almanas Isa Shepsula Lekuhuna. Again, we described previously an Isa was a dough, which contains many different ingredients, and therefore it's like a taruvis. So this woman, called an Almanas Isa, is an unclear status. It's not certain what she is. So she's Psula Lekuhuna. So everybody agrees that if a woman doesn't have a clear lineage, so then she can't go and marry a Kohen. Now, this is the Divrei HaKol. So the most lenient opinion of these three, which was Rav Shimon Gamliel, even he would say that in this situation, Psula Lekuhuna. Because Man Meiko Bahani Tanoi, who was the most Meiko of all these opinions? The Tanakhama said that the woman is asura if it's a forbidden relationship. Rav Yossi said that as long as some of the children are psulim, so then the mother is psula. And it was Rav Shimon Gamliel said that all the children had to be psulim in order for the mother to be posel. So he's the most meikle. Man meikle bahani tanoi, Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's the most meikle opinion. And yet, he will say in this situation that the Amonis Isa is psula lakuna, so certainly all the others will as well. Because, vikama, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, kol shatanose bito, if you're allowed to go marry the daughter, atanose almanasa, then you could go and marry the Amona, and you could go and marry the daughter. For example, if the father was Ger Amoni or Moavi, so he was Mekel, Rav Yossi, and the Tanakam would say you couldn't in that situation marry the mother. But if you can't marry the daughter, so everybody agrees that if you can't marry the daughter, not only Rav Gamliel, but certainly Rav Yossi and the Tanakam will also say in that situation that you couldn't go and marry the mother. So, Lemute Mai, who is the exclusion in this situation? According to Rav Gamliel, Lemute Amanas Isa Pshepsula Likuhuna. So, the Chiddush over here is that even Rav Gamliel, and certainly the others, would say that Amanas Isa, a woman who's unclear what her status is, so she would be Psula Likuhuna. So, therefore, this statement is made according to Likule Alma. Lafuke midahani tenoi, as opposed to, we said it's Lukuliyama, but that was Lukuliyama, the three Tanoim that we knew, the Tanakama, Rav Yossi, Shimon Gamliel. There is another Tanoic opinion that would disagree with this, and it's not Hakomodim, it's not everybody, according to Rav Chisda, but it would be Lafuke midahani tenoi, as opposed to the following Tana that we learned in the Mishnah, in Edios. So in Edios, it tells us, Hayid Rav Yeshua Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. That's why it's called Idios, because we have testimonies of all the different Tanoim that they testified. This is the halacha. They got together and they were able to process and proclaim what the din was in many difficult situations. And that's why Idios is known as the Bechir Shabbat Mishnayis, because they all got together and they were able to resolve many controversial situations. So they testified, Rav Yeshua and Yehuda ben Beseira, Al Amonas Isa, that this Amonas Isa, Shek Sheira Lakuna. They said that she is, in fact, permissible to marry the Kuna, not like the three opinions that we just brought down. Why? My timer. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yoshua and Yehuda ben Seira that allows this Amonas Isa to go marry a Kohen? Because they say, have a Svek Sveka, or Svek Sveka Likula. There is this famous din called Svek Sveka. This is when you have, under normal circumstances, and that's why Tosus understands it here and others understand it here. We'll explain Rashi in a second, who doesn't understand it in the normal way. But the classical din of a Svek Sveka is there's a double Sofek over here. Number one, this may or may not be Osir. And number two, it may or may not have been eaten. We're not sure which one you ate. So that's a classical Svek Sveka. You have a double Sofek. So even though we normally would say a Sofek Daraisa, let's say, is Lechumra, but when you have a Svek Sveka, so then we allow it to be Lekula. So according to Tosus and the other and the understanding of other Rishonim, the Svek Svek over here is that number one, there was an uncertainty as to who was the blemished lineage in this family. Let's say it was brother A or brother B. And we're not sure which one of them is perfectly kosher. The other one has a blemished lineage, or two cousins. One of them was perfectly mutter, and the other one had a blemished lineage. So we don't know which one of the two. And again, even the one that we say had a question of a blemished lineage, so that is the question. He may not even have had a blemished lineage. So number one, you have, there's a question, was it a blemished lineage? So brother or cousin one versus cousin two, one of them may have had a blemish. That's the first suffix. And then number two, it's unclear which one she married. She married one of them. We don't know if it was the one that had the question of a blemished lineage. So therefore, it's a double suffix. Did the guy have a blemish in the first place, and did she marry the one that had the blemish? So that's called a Svek Sveka, and therefore we can be Mekel. And that's what the opinion of Rav Yeshua and Rav Yehuda ben Seira is. That's a simple understanding over here of Svek Sveka. Rashi has a slightly different understanding. He agrees, of course, that's the standard definition of Svek Sveka throughout Shas. But here he says that it means, in Dibur Maskul Svek Sveka, he says, Ba lo hayo Sofek. So her husband, he was a Sofek, but that's not her. So she is now the Svek Sveka, Vihi Ba Mekocho Lipasel. So she only is psul only because possibly he was psul. So therefore, it comes to her not directly, it's indirectly. And that's what Rashi says in this situation is the Svek Sveka. In any event, that's the reason why Rav Yeshua and Rav Yehuda are makel to say that Almonas Isa is in fact Sheira Lakuna, as opposed to the opinion of the Tanakama, Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, who say that it would be Asura Psula Lakuna. Okay, then we go back and quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said that the opinion of, now we had the gear said it was Rabbi Eliezer, but as we saw in the Mishnah, and it says on the side over here in the Masoras HaShas, the more correct gear should be Rabbi Elazar. And this actually corresponds with the Brisa that we're going to bring down, where it clearly says that this was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So I will read this throughout as Rabbi Eliezer / Rabbi Elazar, but it really should be, according to the Masoras HaShas, should be Rabbi Elazar. In any event, in the Mishnah, this opinion of / Rabbi Elazar was vadayin bivadayin mutter. Only if you know for a vadai that this was a mamzer is allowed to marry a vadai mamzeris. But if it was a, one of them was a sofek being a mamzer, the other one was a vadai mamzer, or both of them was sfekos being a mamzer, then you can't marry because you may in fact have one that was kosher, now marrying one that was pasul. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. When I was learning with Rav, Rav had said, Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer / Rabbi Elazar. That the Halacha follows this opinion that only the Vadei with the Vadei are permitted, but the Vadei with the Suffolk or a Suffolk with the Suffolk, they're not permitted. However, after Rav died, Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, ki Amrisi Kamei de Shmuel. When I mentioned over this psak of Rav in front of Shmuel, Shmuel said, Amali, Shmuel told me, no. Hillel, Shone Asara Yusin Olumi Bavel. Our famous Mishnah that says the Asara Yusin came up from Bavel. The Chula Mutarim Lavo Zeh Bezeh. Now, obviously, this can't mean that they're all permitted to each other. A coin's not allowed to marry a mamzer. So it means that within the categories that are permitted, they're allowed to marry with each other, including, therefore, the way Tosus understands this is that every category can marry within itself. That's the way Tosus understands this. In Dibur Maslo, the Chulu Mutaris Lovo Zebazeh says, how can you say possibly that they're all allowed to marry? So he gives Tosus first gives Rashi's answer. I am Pirush Kuntris, Kol Asurin Mutarin Lovo Zebazeh. So those that are permitted, like I just explained, I gave Rashi's Psha. So those that are permitted to marry each other, they're all permitted to marry each other. But Tosus says that's not what it says, cautionary, because it doesn't actually say that. So therefore, he brings down the near Lari that the Ri understands Lefarish to call Echad the Echad Mutar Bimino, that each one is allowed to go and marry within its own species, so to say, with its own kind, which would mean that a Suffolk Mamzer would be allowed to go marry a Suffolk Mamzer. So therefore that contradicts the psak that Rav had given, that the halach is like Rabbi Eliezer, that a Suffolk is not allowed to marry a Suffolk. And therefore, how can you possibly say Shmuel tells to Rabbi Yehuda that Rav holds the At Amris Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. The Halacha is in fact like Rabbi Eliezer. This statement from Hillel seems to go against that which Rav said. Okay, now we have our opinions here that Rabbi Yehuda stated in the name of Rav, and that Shmuel said in the name of Hillel that disagrees with what Rav said. Now this seems to be contradicted. V'rami d'Rav ad'Rav, v'rami d'Shmuel ad'Shmuel. We seem to have elsewhere statements that are the exact opposite of what Rav and Shmuel held over here. The Itmar, because we have the following statement: an arusa she'ibra. If you have a woman who was an arusa, so she's forbidden to all the people in the world, but she's also forbidden still to her husband, even though she's in the first stage of marriage, because she hasn't had yet chuppah, she hasn't had yet nisuin. So this arusa is forbidden to every single man in the world, but to every man other than her arus, it's adultery. To her arus, it's a lav. So, arusa she'ibra, if this arusa becomes pregnant, so Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer. Rav says in this situation that the Vlad coming out of that is a mamzer. We have to assume that this is an adulterous relationship. It's a chayve mises based in, and therefore this child is a mamzer l'kuliyama, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. So this child is a mamzer for certain, Rav says. Ushmuel Amar, no, Havlad Shtuki. Shmuel says that the Vlad is a Shtuki. Now, how does this contradict what we just said? Because Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer, Rav says in this situation the Vlad is a mamzer, U-mutter b'mamzeris, but this is only a suffix situation, and yet here Rav says that this child is permissible to marry mamzeris. But a minute ago, we just said that Rav holds halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, that a suffix is not allowed to go and marry a vadai. And here, this child, it's uncertain that this is definitely a mamzer. Maybe it was from the arus, and therefore it's only a suffix mamzer, and according to Rav's holding like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, so in that situation, it should be also for a Suffolk to go marry a Vadai. But here, Rav says that this Suffolk can go and marry a Mamzeris. So therefore, Suffolk can marry a Vadai. So Rami, the Rav, are the Rav. And likewise, Shmuel here says, Ushmuelar, Havlad Shtuki. The Vlad is considered a Shtuki, not a Mamzer, but also a Mamzeris. But it's not allowed to go marry a Mamzeris. But according to Shmuel, according to the sheet of Hillel that he brought down, everybody should be able to go and marry within their class. And like Rashi explained, that would include a shtuki being allowed to marry mamzeris. So Shmuel should have said, yes, you can. But here, Shmuel says, we asur b'mamzeris. So we seem to have Rami d'Rav d'Rav and Rami d'Shmuel d'Shmuel. So Shmuel says, you're right. So flip around the two sheetas. Efoch, so that which we just said was Rav, say is Shmuel. And that which we just said is Shmuel, say is Rav. Rav amar havlat shtuki. And therefore, is asura b'mamzeris. And it was Shmuel that says, Omar Havlad Mamzer, and Mutter b'mamzeris. Simply solved by flipping around the two sheetas. Now Rav aligns with Rav, and Shmuel aligns with Shmuel. Moore says, so then why do you have to tell it to me again? Tarti Lomeli, what's the Chiddush over here in telling it to me twice? We had our regular case, and then we had the case of the Arusa. So why do you need both? So Moore says, you need both. Tzricha. Because the Itmar Baha, if we only had the first case, which is talking about a regular case of a woman who has a child, and that child, according to Rav, passes like Rabbi Eliezer / Rabbi Elazar, and the child is considered not to be able to go and marry a mamzer. It's a suffix marrying a vaday, and that's not allowed. So I would say only there, Baha, call my Rav, Mishum Derov Ksher Mitzvah, because in that situation, the majority of the people are in fact kasha to her, right? She's a penuya, and therefore the vast majority of people in the world are mutter to her, as we had said the other day. The only people that are asurah to her are her immediate relatives. And if there would be a person who was a mamzer, but the vast majority of people are not her relatives and are not mamzer. So therefore, only there does Rav say that it's a suffix, not allowed to marry a vaday. So, but in our case with the Arusa, Sheibra, Avo Hasam, you know what? Derob Sulamitzla, the vast majority of people are asa to her with an isser that would make the child into a mamzer. The only one who's not is her Aris. So therefore, I might have thought that Ema Modi Lishmol, that in fact, in that situation, Rav would be Modin Shmuel. Rav would hold here that the child is a vaday mamzer, and therefore would be permitted to marry a mamzeres, and therefore Rav had to tell us in this situation that still there is an isser, because it's still a suffix and can't marry a vaday mamzeres. Oh, so Rav is now consistent. We needed to say both cases, the regular case as well as the case of Arusa Sheibra, according to Rav. And if you only told us the second case of the Arusa Sheibra, I would have said, V'yim Abahach, I would have said, only there, Bahal Kama Rav, Mishum Deiko Lemisla Ba'aris, because there, the reason why it's a suffix is because there is a likelihood, much more likely, that the person that she had relations with was the person that she loves, her husband, and they couldn't control themselves, and she had relations with him. So therefore, there's a real suffix over here. While 99.999% of the people in the world are asur to her, because she's a married woman, and the only one that wouldn't make the child into a mamzer is her aris, but the overwhelming likelihood is that the aris was the father. So therefore, that's a real suffix, and therefore Rav said in that situation, suffix can't marry a vaday. Mishum deiko lemisla biaris. So there's a likelihood over here that it's the aris, and therefore the child is a suffix situation. Avo Baha, in the first case, ema modi lishmol. Maybe he admits to Shmuel that in fact, there the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer / Rabbi Elazar, and in fact, a suffix can go and marry a mamzeres because the child is probably not from somebody who's legitimate. So tricha, therefore you need to tell me both cases to show us the strength of Rav and the strength of Shmuel in each respective case. So that's teres number one, that we have to do muchlefas hashita, and we explained why you needed two cases, and Rav is consistent throughout, Shmuel is consistent throughout. But alternatively, one says, no, lo tepo. Let's leave it the way it was. We seemingly have a contradiction. No, there's no contradiction. Because how do you explain the statement that Rav had made? When he said, Umay mamzer dekoma Rav, when Rav says, in the case of the Arusa Sheibra, that the child is a mamzer, and Rav said, Havlad mamzer umutu b'mamzeres, so he says, Lav mutu b'mamzeres. That extra part we added on. That's not really what Rav said. He didn't say that this child is permitted to go and marry a mamzeres. Ella, the Osur b'vas Yisrael. He said the child is considered a mamzer to the extent that he can't marry a bas Yisrael. But not that the child is considered a mamzer. And therefore, there is no steer with what he said previously. In this situation, the child is a suffix. That's what the opinion of Rav was, like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, who says that the suffix can't marry a vaday. But the child here is not considered to be mutter b'mamzeres, but it meant that he's saying that it's also b'vas Yisrael. Likewise, when Shmuel had said, Ushmuel mar havlat shtuki, what Shmuel meant to say wasn't what we had attributed to him, that Ushmuel says havlat shtuki, the osu b'mamzeres. Shmuel is also saying, the osu b'vas Yisrael, that this child can't marry b'vas Yisrael. Wait a second, the word says, if that's what Rav and Shmuel are both saying, so they're both saying the same thing, Yochi, I know the Rav, then they're both saying that it's osu b'vas Yisrael. So what's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the case of the Arusa Sheibra? So when it says, no, what Shmuel said, Ela Mai Shtuki, when Shmuel said that the child is a Shtuki, what Shmuel is saying is, Shemishaskin Oso Midin Kuna, that this child, if it's a girl, so we say, if the mother was married to a Kohen, this child doesn't have the status of being a Kohen. That's what it means. That's what Shmuel's telling a Shtuki over here, Mishatkin Oso Midin Kuna. This child is forbidden to be considered as a Kohen, even though the father is a Kohen. Now, Pshita, isn't this obvious? Where it says, "Hashta midin Yisrael mishatskin and lay." We don't allow him to marry to a bas Yisrael. So certainly, midin kuna mi boy. You have to tell me that we don't allow this child to go and marry a kohen. So where it says, "Yeah, you're right." Ela my shtuki. What do we mean over here? Shmuel didn't mean that. Ela it means shemishatskin. So mi nirsei of it. So if the father over here had Yerusha, so then this child is not considered to be the child of that father that he would go and collect the Yerusha. So Gemara says, obviously, pshita, miyadin avu amanu. We don't know who the father is. So how can you tell me that the child doesn't get a Yerusha? We don't know who the father is. So the answer is, lo tzricha d'tofas. The Shmuel's chiddush is, even if the child grabbed the father's Yerusha, he said, yeah, that was my father. So you might have thought, he's a muchzuk in the items, and a motzi b'chaver, all of a raya. So the answer is no, Shmuel doesn't hold like that. And even in the case where the child grabbed it, we say that there is no correct connection to this father, and the child has to give up the Yerusha, even though he grabbed it. So that's how you would explain, if you didn't want to say Mukhlef as Ashita, that's how you would have to understand Rav and Shmuel. Another way to understand Rav and Shmuel, V'bayis Ema, when Shmuel said that the child is a shtuki, and in this situation, Havlat shtuki, the awesome of Mamzeres, what is Shmuel saying? My shtuki, it means biduki, like Abba Shaul had taught us in the Mishnah. Which means, Shebotkin es imo, you check out the mother and ask her who was the father. And if she says, Vomeris, the kosher, nevalti, and she says he was kosher person, nemenis. So Shmuel's opinion is that you can trust the mother. And who does this go in accordance with? Kiman, Kermel Leel, like we had previously in the Mishnah. We learned this the other day. We're going to learn it again right now. So Shmuel goes like the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And the Gemara says, but we already learned that. Shmuel already taught us once that Allah is like Rabbi Gamliel, so why would he have to tell it to us again? Where did he tell it to us? So this was the Mishnah that I mentioned from Ksubas that we learned a few days ago, and we're learning it again now. If a woman is pregnant, she's a pnuya, she's not married, so we don't know who the father is. Normally we say, Rov Bilos Achar Abba, but here she didn't have a Baal. So we ask her, who was the father of this child that you're pregnant with? So they ask her that. Mativo shel ubor zeh. So she says, Meish ploni, the father of this child is Yankel over here, the Koinu, and he's a Koin, Yankel the Koin. So Rabban Gamliel, again, that's the Rabban Gamliel, which Shmuel had said, and as well as Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim Nem Manis. So both Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that the child is the person, is considered the lineage, this child, of the woman's paralor, the woman that she had relations with, the lover. So we believe her, according to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Omrim Nem Manis. However, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Enu Nem Manis, we don't believe her, it's not Mipi Oded that we believe her. V'yama Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Halachi Rabbi Gamliel. So we already know that Shmuel holds like that, so why would Shmuel have to tell it to us again? So Gemara again says you need both cases, Tzricha. You need the case of this Mishnah in Ksubos, and you need our case as well. Why? Because, Dimi Hasim, if we only had this Mishnah in Ksubos, I would have said Havamina, Hasim Rov Ksherim Etzlo, because she's a Pnuya, and the vast majority of people are Ksherim to her. Only, again, her relatives in Mamzerim are not permitted to her. So therefore, the vast majority of people are Ksherim, so therefore we believe her in that situation. Aval Hach, in the case of the Arusa Sheibra, again, the rope Sulitzla. Every single person in the world except to Aris is an Isser of adultery with her. So therefore, the rope Sulitzla, so maybe in that situation, Emelo, I would say we don't believe her. So Tzricha, you need Shmuel to come along and tell us that even in that situation, we pass in like Rabban Gamliel. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Braisa, the Chain Rabbi Elazar. Here the Braisa says clearly it's Rabbi Elazar, and that's why I mentioned before that the Mesoras HaShas changes around the Girsa in our Mishnah and throughout the Gemara to state that it's not Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Elazar. Because here the Braisa clearly says, Chain Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Kusi lo Yisa Kusis. He additionally adds, just like we said before, that a Safa can't marry a Vadai, so he says over here, a Kusi is not permitted to go and marry a Kusis. Now why are these called a suffake is not allowed to marry a suffake? Aren't they both vadai kusim? So Tosis explains, in the Masul Kusi, lo yisal kusis, he says, I you can tell me, you can tell me, hech mesupach, what's the reasoning over here that we're saying that this is a suffake with a suffake? Aren't they both vadai kusim? And Rabbi Elazar / Rabbi Eliezer holds that a vadai can marry a vadai. So Tosis brings down from the Rav Meir, the Hachi Perusho, Shahare, im shneim mamzerim, heter gomuhu. If they're both vadai mamzerim, so then they can marry each other. So in this situation, even if one of them were to be a suffake, but they're a ger, so therefore a ger is permitted to go marry mamzeres. The kusim are different because each kusi over here is a suffake, what their status is. The whole status of the kusim is a suffake. Are they geri emes or are they geri Arayos, the lions with an olive, that in fact make them into not being members of the Kahal. So therefore, each of them might have a different status because it's unclear. It's to each Kusi what their status is. And therefore, that's why Tosa says, the Rabbi Elazar tells us that Kusi lo yisa kusis. Okay, now, where does he get this from? My timer. So Rabbi Yosef tells us, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Asu keger li'achar asara doros. The reason why the kusim are different is because Rabbi Elazar considered them to be like a ger after 10 generations. Technically, the lineage of a ger is always allowed to go and marry a mamzer or mamzeris because they are not technically forbidden in that marriage because the kal gerim lo ikre kal, according to that psak. And we learned in the Brisa, the Tanya, Ger ad asara doros, here it means literally up till 10 generations, mutar b'mamzeres, can go and marry mamzeres because kal gerim lo ikre kal, and therefore they can go marry a mamzer or mamzeres. However, beyond 10 generations, mikan v'elech, also b'mamzeres midirabonon, because people won't remember that they're gerim, they're going to see that you can go and have a what seems to them to be a perfectly good Yisrael marrying a mamzer or a mamzeres. So therefore, they're going to say, oh, you're allowed to marry a mamzer or a mamzeres. So after 10 generations, when it's no longer remembered that they're ben gerim, ben gerim, ben gerim, ben gerim, so therefore, they're forbidden to marry a mamzeres. Or alternatively, Yisholmim, achi yishtaka shem avodas kuchovim menu. As soon as it's forgotten that they're from gerim, maybe 3 generations, 4 generations, no, remember that the grandfather, the great-grandfather was a ger. So then, they're forbidden already to go marry a mamzeres. Because of this concern, the people will then mistakenly think that you can go and marry a mamzeres. So, that's the reason that Rav Yosef says, explains Rabbi Elazar why kusi can't marry a kusis. Now, Amalei Abayi says, that's not comparable, me dummy. Awesome. There, in that situation, you're dealing with a ger yoshen, a ger for many generations, either Asha, Ishtaka, Shemabos, Komeno, 3, 4, 5 generations, or 10 generations, and the mamzeres is a brand new mamzeres right in front of us, mamzeres chadasha. So therefore, we have to be concerned. Amri by Yisrael who do call Nosim Mamzeres. People are going to say, hey, here's a perfectly legitimate Jew. Marrying a Mamzeres must be permissible. Therefore, the rabbis have to make that Xera. However, in our case, away with the Kusi and the Kusis, they're both many generations out. So therefore, they're similar. So why would you say that the Kusi can't marry the Kusis? So therefore, that can't be the reasoning. Rabbi Yosef is wrong. Elok Yosef of Dimi, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, so he said the following, Omar, Rabbi Elazar saw it law Rabbi Yishmael, that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that a kusi can't marry a kusis is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And we turn to Ayin Hey Amud Beis, where we'll eventually explain what Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is. And Rabbi Yishmael saw it law Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael goes in terms of what creates a mamzer, like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we've learned already previously, is that even from Chayvi Lavim, and possibly even Chayvi Yasei, that the child is considered a mamzer. So now let's understand this teretz that Rav Dimi brought us. So, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said, the Rav Elazar saw like Rabbi Yishmael, the Amar Kusim Gere Aroyosheim, that the Kusim were becoming Jews because they were nervous about the lions and said, oh, the God over in this land wants us to convert, and they converted. But they weren't really Gerim because they didn't really do it. They did it out of pachad, out of fear of the lions, and therefore, they're not considered real Gerim. So therefore, they are, in fact, goyim. The Rabbi Yishmael, so look, Rabbi Akiva. And within this opinion, Rabbi Yishmael holds like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says, the Omer, Ovikol Chav, the Eved, if you have a goy or an Eved, Eved Knani, Habal, Bas Yisrael, that had relations with Bas Yisrael and created a child. So Havlad Mamzer, that child is a Chayve Lavin, and therefore that child is a Mamzer. Oh, so this is the explanation that Rav Dimi gave, why a Kusi can't go and marry a Kusis, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So more questions. It says, number one, Umi Savalo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Who says that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva? In fact, I'll show you that that's not true. From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yochanan said it in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Minayin lo v'kol chavim v'yev shabal ha-kohenes v'alavi ha-vabas Yisrael, shepis lua, that they in fact made her psula if they had this relationship. So, Shinema, it says, uvas kohen ki si ha-amon u'grusha v'zera ein lo. It says that the amon u'grusha that doesn't have a child, so they go back, if they were a bas kohen, they go back to eating chuma in their father's house. Now, notice that it says, mi she'esh lo amonus v'gerishin gets to go back to their father's house. Yotza, Ove Kochav, the Eved, She'en La Amonis V'Gerishin, if they had relations with an Ove Kochav or an Eved Knani, so there is no marriage there, there's no Amonis V'Gerishin, so they don't go back. So therefore, what do you see over here? That he doesn't hold it there, Mamzerim, he just says that they're not considered able to go and eat Trum anymore, but they're not considered Mamzerim in that situation. Now, if you're going to tell me, Visok Daitoch, Sovelok Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Shmuel holds in fact like Rabbi Akiva, so then this child is a mamzer. So hash the mamzer heavy, and therefore, Mivsal B'Viyasa Mi Boy, it should have said that as soon as she has relations with them, so then she's prohibited to go back to her father's house at that point in time, she would not be allowed to be married to a Kohen at that point in time. So obviously, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, you have to revise what Rav Dimi said. Elo, Rav Elazar, Sovelok Rabbi Shmuel. You're right, Rav Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Kusim Geira Reis. Yes, he does hold that they're not considered valid converts. The Sovelok Rabbi Akiva. And it is Rabbi Elazar that holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't, but Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva. So, like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ovi Kochav, the Evan Abba Abbas Yisrael have Vlad Mamzer. In that situation, the Vlad is a Mamzer according to Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara questions this as well. Really? Umi Sovel Rabbi Elazar like Rabbi Akiva? Does Rabbi Elazar hold like Rabbi Akiva? But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Afa Pisha Nechlu Be Shami Be Sol Bit Saros. Even though we have the famous first Mishnah in Yevamos, which tells us that there's a famous machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether if one of the co-wives is also to go and marry you, whether then you have to do Yibum with the other co-wife. So the opinion of Beis Hillel is, in that situation, there is no chiyuv on either of them. The one that's also to you, certainly not, but even the one that's mutter to you, there's no chiyuv of Yibum. And Beis Shammai says, yes, there is a chiyuv of Yibum. And therefore, in that situation, even though they had this machlokes in regards to the tzaros, modim shein mamzer, they agree that there's no din of mamzeris, elam mishi suru iser erva v'yonish kares. But it has to be like Shimon HaTimni, that the prohibition had to be a prohibition of kares or of mises based in order for there to be a mamzer created. And this situation is only a lav, and therefore a mamzer is not created. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva? So that teretz is incorrect. So the Gemara concludes and says, Elo ki osa Ravin, when Ravin came and married Saul to Babel. Amar in the name of Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said over the name of Rav Chiya bar Abba, said over the name of Rav Yochanan. Others say it was Amrilo Amar Rav Abba bar Zavda, Amar Rav Chanina, and others say Amrilo Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rishu ben Levi, whoever it was that said this holy memra, it was Shalosh Machlokas bat Dover. There are three Machlokas over here. Rashi says we're dealing here with Kusim v'Kohanim, Hamurim v'Krosh, Nitmu Behem. That we're dealing over here with whether a Kusi and a Kohen who have been intermarried in the Kusim, what are the halachos in regards to them? So the first opinion is Rabbi Shmuel's view. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Kusim Geira Rayase. The Kusim, again, were not real converts. They only converted because of the scare of the lions. And the Kohanim that intermarried with them, the Kohanim Shnitmu Bahem, Kohanim Psulmayu. They're all there for Psulim. And this is based upon the Pasuk Shenemar, Vayasulhem Miktsosam Kohane Bamos. So some of these Kusim made for themselves Kohanim to go be the Kohanim for their bamos, for their altars that they use for their sacrifices to their Avodah Zarah. And Amar Rabba Bar Bechanan, Amar Yochanan, who said over the name of Rabba Bar Bechanan, said over the name of Yochanan, min, the word over here, miktsosam, is a play on min hakotsim sheba'am. From the thorns, the kotsim is a play on the word miktsosam, part of them. It means from the kotsim that were amongst them. In other words, from the psulim that were amongst them. And therefore, misham hachi, and therefore, as a result of that, pasul, the kohanim that had intermixed over there with these kusim that weren't really gerim. So all of them, therefore, were disqualified. All of them were psulim. And therefore, that is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that we're dealing here with the kusim can't marry the kusim based upon that opinion. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Savra, Kusim Geri Emeshen. He said, no, listen, there may have been lions involved, but the bottom line is that they accepted upon themselves to become Jews, and therefore they're true Gerim. They have the halachic status of being Gerim. And the Kohanim, Shenit Mubahem, the Kohanim that intermixed with them, were therefore legitimately allowed to go and marry them, Sher Mayu. And therefore, there was no psul over here in the Kohanim. And this, based upon Shenemar, Vayasulhem Miktsosam, this same pasuk, he darshens in the following way. So he darshens, the word miktsosim is min habichirim sheba'om. This lotion of kitsos, miktsosam, is kitsinim, like the captains amongst them. As Rashi says, there are two different ways to understand this. You can understand miktsosam to be Lashon Koshu Psula, like we just said, or Lashon Muktzin, like it was Muktzim in Om, or you could have this understanding that it's like the leaders of them, from the Katsinim, from the captains amongst them. So, Min HaBechirim Sheba Om. And therefore, why were they forbidden? Ve'el B'nei Ma'asurim, so if everything is fine and dandy, so what was the Isser over here? B'nei Shom Yabmes or Arusos, and we turn to I involve Omud Aleph. They had a misunderstanding of the din. They said only a woman who was an arusa, but not a nesua, had to undergo yibam. And they're based it on the pasuk in a second that I'll show you. The Gemara will tell us. And the women that were actually full-fledged nesuim did not undergo yibam, and therefore they ended up having marriages that were isurim of lab. They weren't muteris yet l'shuk, and according to Rabbi Akiva, This would be mamzerim, and that's why they weren't allowed to marry the kusim to the kusim. So, my darshi, what's his drasha to say over here that they did this incorrect understanding of yibam? Because the pasuk says lo siya eishes hameis hachutza liish zar. So they misunderstood, and they said hach diyosva chutza he lo siya liish zar. This woman who has been outside, in other words, hachutza, meaning not yet married, only the first stage of marriage, but not yet in the second stage of marriage. So that's where the din of yibum applies. Aval hach delo yas v'chutza, but this woman who wasn't outside, she had been taken into marriage. So then there is no din of yibum, and tia leaves zar, and she can go right away and marry muteris l'shuk when the husband passed away, even though there are no children and there's a brother. They darshan that incorrectly. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Latayme, according to his own sheet, the Omer Yesh Mazir Mechayvi Lavim, would say that's why the Kusim weren't allowed to go and marry with each other and with Mamzerim, and therefore, that is the problem. The third opinion is the Yesh Omer. The Yesh Omer say, Lefish Ein Bekiim B'diktuke Mitzos. The reason why they can't intermarry with us is because they're not Bekiim in the Mitzos. Now, this is a famous idea. Who is this Yesh Omer? So, Omer Ravidi Barabin. Ravidi Barabin said, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He, again, according to some, this goes, again, even though we have the word Rabbi Eliezer here, it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Similar idea that we've been saying all this year and in the previous year on the Mishnah. So this Yesh Omer is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, learn the Braisa. Matzas kusi muteris. If the kusi make matzah for Pesach, that matzah is permitted. It isn't the status of chametz, and in fact, all the miyotzi boy yidei chavos Pesach. It really is such matzah that you can be yotze the mitzvah on Pesach. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Oser, why lefish ein bekim diktuki mitzvahs? Because they're not careful about their performance of the mitzvahs, and as a result, you can't rely upon them that they were careful to do it l'shem masatz mitzvah, and therefore you can't rely upon it to be yotze the mitzvah, and you can't even rely upon it that it's not chametz. That is the opinion, Rabbi Lezer, that we're dealing with, and the Braisa finishes and says, Rishim Gamliel Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shechziku Ba Kusim, Harbi Midaktim Lo Yosem Yisrael. It says it depends. The Kusim sometimes took upon themselves mitzvahs with such diligence that they're actually more diligent in observing them than you are at Klai Yisrael. But Lav Davka, all the mitzvahs. Bottom line is, we're interested in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, / Rabbi Eliezer over here, and that opinion is, since the Kusim weren't medactic in the mitzvahs, that's why we say that they're not allowed to have the marriage with the Kusim. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar is this Tana who prohibits the marriage with the Kusim. The Gemara says, Be'alahachi, my in Bekiim. So what are we talking about over here that they're not Bekiim, that we should say that they're not Bekiim, that they should have inappropriate marriages? So the Gemara says, Lefishay Bekiim, the Torah is Kiddush v'Gerushin. It's because they're not familiar with all the intricate details of Kiddushin, what makes a valid marriage, and therefore, are they in fact an Eishes Ish or not? And then, how do you make a valid divorce? Make sure that the status of being an Eishes Ish is properly removed. In the case of a Nebuch, we have to have a divorce. So therefore, since they weren't Bekiim in these halachos, so there would be many women that would in fact not have had an accurate divorce, or they didn't think that they were married and didn't need a divorce, etc. And therefore, there would be, unfortunately, mamzerim there, and that's why we're prohibited to marry with the kusim. Let's already conclude to the Mishnah. I know this is a little bit longer already, but let's go to the Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman said the name of Rabba Ravua. Mamzer meyachosu, mamzer meyashis, ach nis'ar v'hem. So the reason why you're not allowed to go marry with the kusim, and why the kusim can't intermarry with each other, is because there's a chashash over here that they have mamzerim mixed in with them, because they weren't careful about marriages with achosa, which is an isser of koris, and they weren't careful about marriages with an eishes ach, which also would be an isser d'oraisa. And therefore, since they weren't careful with these types of isurim, including achoso and eishes ach, so therefore, they are considered not able to be married into. So again, what's the chiddush of Michael Mashlon? Yesh mamzer chay v'krisus. You're telling us this thing. We already know that nis nechada. So just tell us one of the two cases. Why do you have to mention both of the two cases? So Gemara says no. The reason why he mentions this is because ma'isa shoya kachoya, because both cases occurred. That's why he mentioned both. But technically, you're right. If there was only a concern for one of them, that would have been enough. I v'rova amar. Eved v'shivcha nisarven. The concern with the kusim was that an eved and a shivcha had intermarried into them, and therefore their lineage is psul. So Gemara says isur mishumai. What's the isur of it? Mishum shivcha. So then just say nisnechada. Just tell us one of them. Why do you have to tell me eved v'shivcha? Again, the Gemara concludes and says ma'isa shaya kachaya. That's what it was. That's why you listed both. But technically, you're right. It would have been sufficient if only one of them had been listed. With this, we conclude today's shir. Again, we're learning that Klal Yisrael should be safe. All the soldiers, all the kochos habitachon, all the Hatzalah members, all of Klal Yisrael that is being most nefesh should be safe, and that those in need of a refuah shleima should have a refuah shleima, and the shivuyim should be redeemed b'mheira b'yameinu in good health and safely. Everyone should have a wonderful day. All of Klal Yisrael should be safe.